As pointed out in the reading, there are two paths, the path of the wicked versus the path of the just. May we be determined to enter in the path of the just, that is, as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. Nice to be with you today. I want to talk to you for just a little bit this afternoon about why we don't use tobacco. Tobacco is a product prepared from the leaves of the tobacco plant that is smoked in cigarettes, cigars, pipe tobacco, and consumed as snuff and chewing tobacco and dipping tobacco. The National Institute on Drug Abuse reported that in 2013, almost 55.8 million Americans, that's 21.3% of the population, were current cigarette smokers. 12.4 million smoke cigars, more than 8.8 million use smokeless tobacco, and over 2.3 million smoke tobacco in pipes. That's a lot of tobacco use, isn't it? So let me talk to you about why we don't use it. First of all, it harms the body. The National Institute on Drug Abuse reports cigarette smoking accounts for about one-third of all cancers, including 90% of lung cancer cases. Smokeless tobacco, such as chewing tobacco and snuff, also increases the risk of cancer, especially oral cancers. According to the World Health Organization, smokeless tobacco is a known cause of cancer. In addition, the nicotine in smokeless tobacco may increase the risk for sudden death from a condition where the heart does not beat properly. So contrary to the thinking of a lot of people, smokeless is not harmless. Now, this book teaches that we are to honor and properly use the physical body. Writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, Paul said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's." You're going to have to decide whether chewing or smoking is glorifying God in your body. But then secondly, we don't use it because it brings premature death. According to the Center for Diseases Control and Prevention, tobacco use is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Cigarette smoking results in more than 480,000 premature deaths in the United States each year, about one in every five U.S. deaths, and an additional 16 million people suffer with a serious illness caused by smoking. In fact, for every one person who dies from smoking, about 30 more suffer from at least one serious tobacco-related illness. Did you know the life expectancy for smokers is at least 10 years shorter than for non-smokers? In the textbook, A Healthier You, it is said one American dies every 1.5 minutes from the effects of tobacco. Any of you remember the Hall of Fame baseball player Tony Gwynn, who died from cancer in the salivary gland that was attributed to his habit of chewing tobacco? I'll share with you a little story I ran across called the Sean Marcy story. He was a high school senior and had won 28 medals for his athletic feats. Because he wanted to remain healthy and fit, he avoided cigarettes. However, as an alternative, he began dipping snuff. He saw professional baseball players using that. Others involved in sports with Sean also used snuff. Eventually, he was using 3/4 of a can of snuff every day. He didn't realize the harm he was doing to his body until an ugly red spot appeared on his tongue. The doctor was concerned and took a biopsy, removing a small amount of tissue, which was immediately tested for abnormal cancer cells. The sore was cancerous. After removing part of Sean's tongue, the doctor discovered that the cancer had spread to his neck. Another operation had to be performed, this time leaving an ugly scar from Sean's ear to his breastbone. Radiation treatments followed, but they did not halt the cancer. Part of Sean's jawbone then had to be removed. By this time, his face was so disfigured that a friend who came to visit him fainted. Less than a year after Sean discovered the red spot in his mouth, he was dead. He lost his ability to speak, but he wrote two messages before he died, and one of those was a warning to young people not to dip snuff. You know, the Bible teaches that life is short as it is. The psalmist said, "Remember how short my time is," in Psalm 89 and verse 47. And then in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, he said, "All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." James expressed it in James 4:14 when he said, "Life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Most people want to extend life. They begin to think of ways of adding years to their life. Kind of like Hezekiah, who was told, "Set thine house in order." And he prayed about that, and 15 years were extended to his days in 2 Kings 20. Why would you want to shorten your life? Through an activity that is known to bring premature death. Let me suggest to you another reason why we don't. And that is, not only does it inflict harm to oneself, but it often inflicts harm to others. The National Institute on Drug Abuse says the harmful effects of smoking extend far beyond the smoker. Exposure to secondhand smoke can cause serious diseases and death. Each year, an estimated 88 million non-smoking Americans are regularly exposed to secondhand smoke, and almost 41,000 non-smokers die from diseases caused by secondhand smoke exposure. You know, that goes against the golden rule, doesn't it? Matthew 7 and verse 12, when the Lord said, "Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." It goes against the principle of love for one's neighbor. When Jesus taught in Matthew 22 and in verse 39, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Paul penned in the book of Philippians 2 and verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Think of poor, innocent children suffering with coughing, wheezing, asthma attacks, bronchitis, pneumonia, ear infections, and other serious health problems related to secondhand smoke. And so it inflicts harm to others. But not only that, it is addicting. Reports of the Surgeon General have concluded that cigarettes and tobacco products are addicting, and that nicotine is the drug in tobacco that causes addiction. The National Institute on Drug Abuse has revealed electronic cigarettes, and those are popular today. And some think those aren't as bad as others. But the National Institute reveals that they produce a flavored nicotine vapor that has been shown to contain known carcinogens and toxic chemicals, as well as potentially toxic metal nanoparticles from the vaporizing mechanism. According to data published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Center for Tobacco Products, current e-cigarette use among middle and high school students tripled from 2013 to 2014. And findings from the National Youth Tobacco Survey show that current e-cigarette use among high school students increased from 4.5% in 2013 to 13.4% in 2014. Quite an increase in just a year. Rising from approximately 660,000 to 2 million students. Among middle school students, current e-cigarette use more than tripled from 1.1% to 3.9%. The CDC director said, "We want parents to know that nicotine is dangerous for kids at any age, whether it's e-cigarette, hookah, cigarette, or cigar." The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says adolescence is a critical time for brain development. Nicotine exposure at a young age may cause lasting harm to brain development, promote addiction, and lead to sustained tobacco use. The Bible teaches that you and I are to be temperate. That is, we to maintain self-control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 18, Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. And yet there are those who are brought under the power of nicotine. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said in verse 24, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the master is temperate, that is, maintain self-control in all things. How about instead of becoming addicted to nicotine or to some other substance, addicting yourself to the ministry? Like we read about in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. That's a good addiction, one we all need to have, isn't it? As the Bible emphasizes the work of the ministry in Ephesians 4 and verse 12. But furthermore, we choose not to use tobacco because it's costly. In addition to the cost to a person's health, the economic cost of tobacco is staggering. More than $300 billion a year, including nearly $170 billion in direct medical care and more than $156 billion in lost productivity due to premature death and exposure to secondhand smoke, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. According to the American Cancer Society, the average price per pack of cigarettes in the United States is $6.36. Now you multiply that times the number of packs that is smoked. And then the health-related cost to you per pack of cigarettes is $35. Now multiply that by the number of packs smoked. You think about all of the valuable resources wasted and opportunities that have been missed. That's poor stewardship at the least, isn't it? No wonder insurance companies offer discounts to non-smokers, recognizing its effects. But also, it's a gateway drug. According to the National Institutes of Health, a new study shows how tobacco products could act as gateway drugs, opening the door to use of illicit drugs. Nicotine, researchers found, makes the brain more susceptible to cocaine addiction. Scientists have long recognized that cigarettes and alcohol raise the risk for later use of illicit drugs like marijuana and cocaine. In a recent national survey, over 90% of adult cocaine users between the ages of 18 and 34, had smoked cigarettes before they began using cocaine. And so had they not taken that first drink or that first dip of snuff or smoked that first cigarette, they wouldn't have become addicted to cocaine. That's why it's known as a gateway drug. It opens the door for other things like that. But also we don't use it because it wasn't used by the Lord. Can you envision Jesus walking among the people of his time with a cigarette between his fingers or tobacco under his lip? Can you picture him in the book of John chapter 4 when he's come to Jacob's well? He's been journeying and lighting up. And saying to the woman of Samaria, give me to drink. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that speaketh unto thee, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you see Jesus doing that? Or how about in the book of John in chapter 3, when he talks to Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, whenever he came to him by night? Put a little snuff under his lip. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and the Spirit. You see Jesus doing that? I can't envision that. Let me suggest to you that if Jesus did that, then you ought to be doing it too. Because he's our example. We're to follow his steps. But if you don't think he did that, then what business do you and I have doing that? Sometimes I remember in the past, kids have a little band around their wrist, WWJD. Know what that stands for? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus do that? I don't think so. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. So we say, well, I don't smoke it. I just have a little cigarette over my ear. I can carry a pencil. Just put it right there. Or I just keep a pack in my pocket. Well, what kind of example is that? And then finally, it undermines one's influence for good. Does tobacco use make you a pattern of good works? Titus 2, 6 and 7 says that the young man is to be a pattern. That is something to be copied, worthy of imitation. Does it help you to be an example of the believers? Paul said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. If you're doing that, does that make you an example? 1 Timothy 4:12. Would you want your children doing it? How about your grandchildren? Would you recommend they do that? Would you say to somebody else like Gideon of old said, look on me and do likewise when you're doing that? Look on me and do likewise. Judges 7 and verse 17. You know, multitudes of tobacco users have sought to quit and earnestly warned others not to get started. Let me share with you a little letter that was written, published in 1976 in response to a letter from a mother whose 17-year-old daughter was hooked on cigarettes. That's when it starts, generally, in their teens. And they get hooked on that, and they can't have trouble getting over that habit. But it can be done. But here's a little letter. This letter reflects my own feelings about cigarettes after 24 years of smoking. I'm ashamed to admit I'm still at it. I doubt that this letter will have the slightest impact on the heavily addicted. For me, all the words in the world will not take the place of that first cigarette in the morning. I'd rather address myself to your readers who are 17, as I once was, with a set of healthy lungs, white teeth, clean blood coursing through my veins, and in my pocket my first package of cigarettes. How was I to know that 24 years later I'd be so hooked that any thought of quitting would be out of the question? How could I know at 17 that I'd be waking up each morning with a mouth that tastes like the bottom of a birdcage? How could I know my teeth would be stained and my chest would feel as if it were filled with cement? All I knew was that smoking was the cool thing to do. It made me feel grown up. Although I've never seen my lungs, I know how they must look. My uncle, who is a surgeon, once showed me some before and after pictures. Sit in on an autopsy one of these days, he said. You'll see that the non-smoker's lungs are a bright pink. When I open the chest cavity of a smoker, the entire respiratory system is nearly black, depending on how long he has smoked. Still, I continue the filthy habit, going half crazies on mornings when I'm out of cigarettes. I go digging through ashtrays and waste baskets for a butt to satisfy my craving. I pace the floor like a hungry lion, waiting for the store to open. Then I hurry, unshaven, and hand over another 55 cents for a package of suicide. Now that was the price in 1976. With that first puff, I realized nothing about it tastes good. Those ads are a lot of baloney, but the people that sell cigarettes don't care about you. You're hooked, and they love it. Their ads tell you, come on. But don't be fooled, 17. It's not a bandwagon you'll be hopping on. It's a hearse. If I could write cigarette ads, I'd show pictures of myself coughing my head off, gargling away a rotten taste that keeps returning, spending money I can't afford, stupid me sucking on a little white pacifier. Then I'd show you pictures of clothes I burned and the people I've offended with my breath, my smoke, my ashes, my matches, and my butts. This is me, 17. A rasping, spitting, foggy brain addict who has let the habit consume me. I'm a can't quitter who creates his own air pollution, who prefers carbon monoxide to oxygen, whose sinuses are constantly draining. Me with the yellow fingers, the foul breath, smoking more and enjoying it less, telling you that I wish to God someone had wised me up when I was 17. Wow, tobacco And nicotine may be good as a pesticide. When it comes to the body, we set it aside and say none inside. It's a decision each one of us will have to make. Appreciate the way that you listen. May God help us to conquer every vice and villainy so as to walk in the Spirit. John 3 and verse 16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We invite you to come to the Lord, believing that he is, to repent of your sins, to determine to make whatever changes need to be made. You see some corrections that need to take place in your life. Today is the day to do that. Today is the only day we have. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'll be happy to baptize you. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you become unfaithful. Maybe there are things you're struggling with, addiction, that you need help with overcoming. Help us here. And we urge you to take advantage of it. There's no greater help than the Lord's. We have confidence that we can cast our care upon him and he cares for us. Repent, change, confess. As John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Need cleansing? Come while we stand, while we sing.